Would you listen to the word of God found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers, and we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for we welcomed you. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with a joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. God's word for the people of God. Have you ever worked long and hard on something that you wanted to gift to someone? Just heard it there. It's back. Christmas is just a few short days away, you know, just slightly over 2 months, 8 weeks. And maybe you're making something special for someone with a gift. Maybe you're quilting, like Lynn's got a book back there about quilting. You know, maybe you're building something. Maybe you're working on some other project, sewing, painting, some other thing that you want to gift to somebody. A number of years ago, I'm guessing about 45 years ago, my uncle had given me some wood that was walnut boards that he had intended to make a coffee table out of, and he just never got to it. So a couple of boards were glued together, but that was it, and he gave those to me. And my skill level and my knowledge was not good. I didn't have tools. So for about 35 years, I moved that wood with us every place we went. Every parsonage we had, that wood went, and it got stuck in the garage. It got put overhead. I kept that wood. And then not quite 10 years ago, my skill level was improved. I had tools to use. I knew what I was doing. And so I took that, and I made the coffee table he had always expected to make. And I gifted that to our daughter and son-in-law for their wedding. And I bought more wood, and I made coffee tables and end tables for all of them and our other kids. And I put a lot of effort into it because they were special gifts, and it was something special. And the tables were the evidence of my work. My love was what caused the labor to take place. And it was perseverance that got the work accomplished. You know, in this passage of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's commending them for the work that they have accomplished, the labor of love that was prompted by love, and the perseverance inspired by their hope in Jesus Christ. You know, that was something. So often we take the epistles and we skip over the first few verses. We just kind of glance at those, you know, and Paul says, Paul, an apostle, and I thank you, I remember you, and I keep you in my prayers. And we just skip over that, and we don't always pay a lot of attention to the introduction part of the letter. But Paul's commending them because of their faith, their love, and their perseverance. Now, I recently read a study by Barna, just within the last week or so. And if I have the statistics right, because it was a whole booklet type form, that Christians, over 50% of people who are professing faith in Christians, only share their faith once, maybe twice, in a year's time. Think about that. Those of us who have the hope of Jesus Christ, who claim to have that hope of Jesus Christ, over half of us only share that faith with someone once or twice in an entire year. And roughly another 15% only share their faith 3 or 4 times in a year. That's like once every 3 or 4 months do you ever tell anybody about Jesus Christ. And it left me wondering about, you know, where do I stand in the midst of all those statistics? If we profess our faith in Jesus Christ and we have hope in him for the future and we claim to be a people that's prompted by love, where do we measure up? Where do we measure up? I was talking with a friend earlier this week, and he reminded me of another time in another church when we were together, and and we'd ask for testimony, and people started coming forward, and we're just sharing. And he said, "What's going on here?" And I don't remember it, but he said, I said to him, "Well, you know, when you fall in love with Jesus, you just can't seem to help it. It just happens. When you fall in love with Jesus, do you remember when you fell in love with somebody and you couldn't help but want to be with them, think about them, deal with them?" You know, Paul states in verses 4 and 5 that he knows the Thessalonians have this faith and love and hope because the message that was preached to them was not merely words, but it came with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Greeks and the Greek philosophy of that day back in the Roman Empire, they loved to debate and loved to talk about philosophies and thoughts and thinking and what everybody was, what do you think about this and possibilities of that. But when Peter and Paul and the other apostles came, they didn't come with just words. Their words were backed up with power. The apostles had more than just another philosophy to discuss. You know, it says in Acts chapter 5 that Peter, the Holy Spirit was doing signs, wonders, miracles through them to demonstrate the power of their words, that people would bring their people out and lay them on the street so that when Peter walked by, maybe his shadow would fall upon them and people would be healed. And it says, you know, in Acts chapter 19 for Paul that they would take napkins and aprons that maybe he wore. Today they take his face masks and give those to people so that just because Paul had touched them and they'd heard the words, that people would be healed. Now there was power behind what they said. They didn't just talk about it. There was power behind it. There was the Holy Spirit that came and brought conviction and transformation, and the Spirit of God was moving in such a way that people just couldn't help but say, there's something real here. This isn't just words. It's got power behind it. They moved from just believing what the words were to knowing what the message was because it was so obvious. Maybe some of you can remember a musician back in the 1960s had a number one song that was on the top of the charts for a few months. It was titled "Eve of Destruction" by Barry McGuire. Barry McGuire became a Christian not long after that and did a lot of Christian music, contemporary Christian music. But he shared a story. He had a good sense of humor, but he shared a story once about the difference between believing and knowing. He said, "I want you just to imagine that there's a young man that's never before been around fire or heat. Never experienced that at all. Doesn't know what that is. And he happens to get invited to go to a bonfire where they're having roasting marshmallows. And so they put a marshmallow on a stick for him and tell him what to do. And so he holds the marshmallow in the fire. And the first thing you know, his marshmallow is in flames. He gets all gooey, sticky, and falls in the fire. And so he doesn't know anything about fire heat. So he goes to reach for the marshmallow. And they stop him and they say, "Oh, don't do that. You know, you'll get burned. It's not good. Don't do that. You know, it'll hurt." And he believes them. He believes them. And so he sits back, and so they start roasting marshmallows again. After a while, they start to run out of marshmallows, so the one guy that stopped him, he heads off to his car because he was a professional marshmallow roaster, and he always carried an extra bag in his car. And so he went back to get more marshmallows, and so the young man sitting there by himself again puts another marshmallow on, holds it in the fire, and sure enough, he goes up in flames, gets all gooey, sticky, falls off the stick. And he looks around and no one's watching. And he says to himself, you know, if I'm really, really fast, I can reach in there and grab that and pull that out without getting burned. And so he looks around, no one's there paying attention. So he reaches in quickly and grabs the marshmallow. And pretty soon he has five little torches, flames on his fingers, and he's in pain. And at that instant, he went from believing what the person said to knowing what the person had said. You know, once you have experienced an encounter with the Holy Spirit, once you have seen the Holy Spirit at work behind you, don't just believe the words, you know the words, because there's a power behind it. It's backed up with power. And Paul knew that they had received this message not only with words, but with power. That's what he said. They knew the message of the gospel. They'd seen the gospel demonstrated transforming power in their life and the lives around them. And they became imitators of Paul. They wanted to mimic Paul and be like Paul. Have you ever played the game with kids, you know, when someone's sitting there and you start doing the same thing, you know, like, how many of you have done that with kids? You know, I can do that with some of you right now. I can even mimic your wife. Notice I let the wives be the ones that stayed awake, so ladies, be kind to me. You know, we play that game where we copy people, and Paul says they were imitating him and the others, that they were becoming more and more and demonstrating what Jesus was like. People could see the power at work on them. Have you ever watched TV enough to see the commercials? You know, the commercials, when they're selling a product, they don't just come up and talk about it. Oh, this is a very nice thing. They always try to give you some reason to demonstrate the power. You know what I'm talking about? Flex Seal. How many of you have ever used Flex Seal? How many of you have watched the commercials of Flex Seal? You know the commercials where the guy takes a screen door and cuts a hole in the bottom of the boat and puts that on the bottom of the boat and then sprays it down with Flex Seal and he shows you him. How many of you have used Flex Seal? How many have been successful with Flex Seal? Well, a couple of you are kind of like, yeah, maybe. You know, now it's worked for me a few times. It has worked for me a few times. I've never tried it in a boat. I don't plan to try it in a boat. If you want to use your canoe that you're making, maybe we can try it with your canoe, but I'm not willing to. You know, but that's what they always demonstrate the power behind what they're telling you what this is. There's always some kind of a demonstration. It's just we just don't talk about the product. We try to tell you how good it is. Have you seen the Leaf Guard commercials? You know, I kind of like the guy that sells that because he kind of dances as he's trying to sell the story around you. But you know, they always have pictures of how that's supposed to be working, so that you see the power behind what they're telling you. Now, Ann and I have realized that, you know, I guess our age is starting to show because the commercials on the stations we watch. We see Joe Namath a lot selling Medicare, trying to sign him up for Medicare. And Jimmy J.J. Walker selling Medicare, you know, at sign up, you know. What'd you say? Yeah, he does that in the commercial, you know, and it's like you don't know who he is till he does that, you know. But it's like they always have people come on and say things like, you know, like, I don't have to spend money I don't want to spend. And, you know, they always have explanations about the reason why this is important. Well, the gospel message comes backed with power as well. It's not just words and you think, well, yeah, it sounds good. It's like it comes backed with the power that you should be able to see it. And our message needs to be backed with power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. You know, the good news of Jesus Christ isn't just something, yeah, well, that sounds nice. People should be able to look at your life and be able to know the difference. Lives within the church should be transformed and moved. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he said, they know about you in Macedonia and Achaia, even way beyond that, because, you know, they can tell how your life has changed. And that the what you have produced, the works that you have produced have been prompted by your love for them. And you've endured in sharing about it because of your faith and the hope of Jesus Christ. And so the whole region around knows about how you received us and how you've begun to imitate us. He says that you welcomed the message that was backed up with power from the Holy Spirit with joy and excitement. You know, if you needed Flex Seal and you didn't have any idea and somebody gave you, you might receive that. Oh, thank you. Their testimony rang out and multiplied to others in other regions. And their lives were turned to Jesus and transformed. When you fall in love with somebody, you can't help but talk about it. You can't help but share the testimony. And when you're in love, people see it. You notice it. We need to seek more for the Holy Spirit to manifest itself within us so that our message is with power. So it's not just once or twice a year or three or four times a year, but there's something within us we can't help but proclaim. This world is so messed up and seeking for so much stuff. They need to see how it's different. They need to see that we're not just another social organization, but that we're a people of God that has the power of God with us in all that we do. That God manifests himself through us in answered prayer, through lives being changed and transformed, through signs and wonders. The world's longing for something to hope for and hope in. And we have that answer. May we pray that God will manifest himself in us through power. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would come. May your Spirit be poured out upon us, Lord. May we become imitators of you. May we allow you to move us from just believing, to knowing, and proclaiming what we know. For once we've experienced it, we can't help but proclaim it. In Jesus' name.